live from the WGY studios every Sunday. This is the Paul Potrat Show.
Stop spraying and praying. You're wasting money.
Millennials aren't lazy. It's how you lead them.
When you sell by price, you die by price.
The Paul Potrat Show, helping your business grow and stay relevant.
Covering the latest technology for business, leadership trends, and changing your mindset on marketing.
Now, your hosts, Paul Potratz, the business architect, and Samantha Zewalinski, the millennial entrepreneur.
You ready to change some people's mindset on marketing today, Paul?
I hope so. Let's hope we can change their mindset.
I think we have a really good topic lined up for today.
I think so. We do every week. We have good topics, I think. At least
Correct.
That's what I hear from people. And I mean, I'm not being... Okay, yeah, maybe I am. All right, yeah.
Well, it's good to have confidence in ourselves.
I agree. And I think you can never have... Well, maybe you can have more than enough confidence, but yes.
So yes. We kind of have been starting off with a little bit of like a thought starter.
Yes.
And I was listening to something you put out there. It was probably like 2 weeks ago now. But you do Think Tank Tuesday every week. And you actually stopped doing it live, which is probably a different topic. But you mentioned something that I thought was really interesting. You brought up the question of maybe every day saying what you're thankful for.
Oh, put me on the spot.
Exactly. Payback. Better watch out. But I loved it. And I thought that is so true because we complain about so many things every day, you know, get ticked off about so many things instead of being grateful for the things that aren't going wrong or are beneficial enough in our lives. So I thought maybe we could start with thinking about what we're thankful for or just even talking about your thought process behind bringing that up.
You know, and where I talked about that too, and I even talked about it on Instagram Live. I'm such a social media prostitute. But anyway, so, you know, and it's true. I mean, you know, I think we should really be thinking every day, what are we thankful for? And we talked about this, like the fear, the flight or fight mode and everything else, and how it creates these chemicals in your body that's bad. And I think it's just, it's kind of your zen that you, and I'm going to start doing a video. At least I'm going to try my best to start doing a video every day talking about what I'm thankful for. And I challenge you to do the same thing.
Everybody mark your calendars, check Facebook or Instagram. Paul said it himself.
Yes.
He's all over those platforms.
Yes.
How long are those videos going to be?
Just however long it takes. I mean, it's not going to be a long, drawn-out thing of telling stories. I think it's just kind of really to the point. So my thought process has been, I'm going to start the video out talking about why I'm doing the video every day. So if somebody new is joining, they're understanding. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say what I'm thankful for. And then I'm going to close it out and challenge other people to start doing the same thing. But I got to figure out if I'm going to do it on Facebook and get this thread to keep going, kind of like where I did the thing where I took a picture of my socks and everybody else took pictures of their socks and we had it going for like a week. So, but this needs to be long term. I mean, every morning when we get up, we should think about what am I thankful for today, other than having the opportunity to wake up and live another day.
Mm-hmm. Or when you go to bed.
Or when you go to bed. So, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
reflect on your day as well.
And I think that's important. So, Samantha, what are you thankful for today?
So, as I was driving here this morning, I thought about throwing this on you. Okay. And it's a little cheese because it has to do with what we're talking about. But I think I'm thankful that I have a job that I really, really love. You hear so many people complain about complacency or they don't like who they work for or where they work. They don't ever make a change. That's their problem. But I was thinking about, I really love what I do and where I do it. So that's what I'm thankful for today.
Boy, we're on the same brainwave. Because, I mean, you're here in your blazer and your cute little sundress and your hair looks nice and everything else.
Thanks.
And I'm thinking, I'm thankful that I have Samantha as my right arm, my left arm, and that you keep me on the, you know, the forward momentum path. I could see myself getting lazy and being like, well, I'm doing this now.
You got to check them squirrels.
Yeah, no kidding. So I'm thankful for you, Samantha.
Well, we make a great team, so let's use that and get into today's topic.
Ooh, boy, and I'm excited about today's topic, too.
So we're going to talk about remarketing, also referred to as retargeting. But I think it's really important before we even talk about anything else, we define that for our audience.
I agree. And then, so we're going to talk about remarketing, retargeting, which is very important, but it's very near and dear to me because that is the technology that I used to launch our ad agency years ago. And there was there's articles. If somebody searches for us, they'll see the articles where people were writing about it, asking if there's is there too much Paul Potratz or is there too much Potratz out, because I was basically stalking people through remarketing, retargeting.
And that was back when it wasn't very popular, so a lot of people didn't know how you were doing it.
Yeah, it wasn't popular
but
at all.
What is it?
Yeah, it was actually 2006 that the first article came out. So we've all experienced it, we've all seen it, and we didn't probably know what it was, or we just discount it. So what it is there's different types, but I'm going to give you the most basic one. The most basic one is when you visit someone's website, you pick up a code.
Cookies or pixels, depending on what platform you're using.
Right. And you leave their website and you see ads basically following you. You see ads on Facebook. You see ads on ESPN. You see ads on the Weather Channel. You see ads on...
You go there,
thousands
there's
of
ads.
Websites. Yeah, wherever you go, and you see an ad for that company. So it's, you kind of think about it. It's basically like a billboard. It's a display. It's a graphic. It can also be text. It can also be video, but it's an ad for that website, that company, that business, that individual, whatever, that follows you wherever you go online. And it can follow an individual for up to 540 days.
So the reason I think that this is really important is because no matter whether you're a small business or you're a Fortune 500 company, this strategy applies to you. And that's how you mentioned that's how you launched a lot of the campaigns around the agency.
Mm-hmm.
I always remember one thing. I remember we got a call. Should I say this?
Yeah.
About the website. We got a call from a individual saying that we were on a adults only website and that they don't know why we were on there. And at the end of the day, it's because you went to our website and then you went to that website. So you're seeing your ad. Do you realize what you're telling us?
But the funny part was that they were angry about it. That why?
Oh, they were so mad.
They were mad. Why would we support an adult website and that they would never do business with us and all this other stuff? And I mean, they would never do business
with us. I think they hung up
me.
After you explained it to them too, because then they realized they were telling us that they were on this website that they quote unquote wouldn't support.
Yeah.
But it is like the number one thing that I always remember and laugh about, because it is so true. Wherever you go, we have the opportunity to be one of the ways it works.
Yeah, whatever the person's interest is, hobby, wherever they gather their news, whatever it is, you can follow them with retargeting or remarketing. Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, and I've had a number of clients, though, over the years that would say, well, I want to make sure we're not on any adult websites. And I'm like,
you can. So if it is for some reason, a do or die thing for you and your business, you can block certain websites and you can make sure you are on certain websites. Those
Why?
Capabilities,
they have money
they do
too.
Exist. Well, they do exist. Those capabilities do exist. So, if that is increasingly important to your business, you can make sure that you don't appear on specific placements.
Yeah. That could get a little touchy though, depending on what kind of business you have. And
well,
then
I mean,
it's
if you're like a church organization, you want to be a little extra careful.
Yeah, exactly.
So getting into it, right? So how can a business use it? Why would they want to? So it's an ad that then follows people after you've actually been to their website. So you're targeting people who have expressed an interest in a product, a service that you offer.
Okay. So really simple. This is what I call it. Okay.
Okay.
So are you ready? Get your pen out. Are you ready? You get your pen.
Yep.
It's the business card. It's the modern day business card. You think about it. You go to an go to an event, whatever, you meet people, you do the famous business card swap. But the problem is a lot of times the person puts the business card in their pocket, they get home at the end of the day or whatever, they go back to the office, they pull it out of their pocket, they lay it on a desk, it goes into a drawer, it ends up in a trash can, or it ends up in somebody's nightstand drawer, then you clean the nightstand and it goes in the trash. Some people keep business cards, but it's a business card that someone cannot throw away. So it's a modern day business card and it's very, very affordable. I mean, there's no reason that a business should not be doing remarketing or again, retargeting, but there is an art to it. And that's what was, really interesting in 2006 when that article was written. And there was a few of them though, but the one article is, what does Paul Potratz and Wu-Tang have in common? And I didn't even know who Wu-Tang was.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who Wu-Tang is?
Yeah.
Who's Wu-Tang?
Music.
Okay, yeah, it's a band. So I just wanted to make sure, because I'm sure we have friends that are like, who's Wu-Tang? What's that? But, the point is it's very affordable. And in 2006, the guy was writing a blog, and where he did that article, it's because we have a set strategy that I worked on years ago to develop a retargeting strategy. Because most people, what they do when they try to do retargeting is like, oh, someone visited our website and, you know, they looked at whatever, you know, red sneakers, and now I'm going to follow them around with the red sneakers if that's what you sell, mm-hmm. which is can work for depending on the type of business you are. But if you're a professional business, like professional services, like an attorney, an accountant, you know, a hospital or whatever it is, you need a much more robust strategy that has call to actions. It has a subtle message. It does a progressive profile. And that's what, as you know, we built out years ago.
So we're throwing around a lot, I feel like.
Yes.
So step one, if you're a business owner saying, this sounds great, I need a modern day business card. I would even challenge that statement, though, to say it's better than a business card.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can do so much more. I think one thing as businesses, we try and find different ways to talk to different audiences. And that's exactly what remarketing lets you do, is you can segment your website. So divide it essentially into all of these different pieces and say, hey, people that come to my website for red shoes are going to see these ads. People that come to my website for a red dress are going to see these ads. People that come and want to buy, you know, cell phone cases are going to see these ads potentially.
So somebody that's going to look at your map contact page is going to see a different ad. Somebody that goes to your homepage and doesn't go anywhere else is going to see a different ad.
Somebody that looks at your rates or abandons your shopping cart, totally different ads because you were able to push them down the funnel compared to everybody else.
Somebody, if you have a blog site and they're reading your blog, different ads. And I think that's the most important point that you're making right now, is you have to create a conversation with that individual. A lot of times we try to approach online marketing the way we do newspaper, radio, mm-hmm. TV, and we just spam people. We broadcast it the masses, and retargeting allows you to engage, not spam and not blast, but engage the individual based on their digital body language, what they're interested in, what's important to them. Mm-hmm. And that's critical that you do that. Otherwise, it really is just basically a business card, you know, or a newspaper ad or a radio commercial. Mm-hmm. So interesting point. Yeah, you want to segment your website, but you want to take it a step farther. Because like where you made the example, if they visit the red shoes, then you have one strategy. But what is your strategy as time goes on? You can change the ads. As mm-hmm. they change their body language online, you can change the ads, because now you can move them down a funnel mm-hmm. and sell them other products. Sell them, you know, you can upsell them, you can cross sell them, you can do all of these things. And again, it's really affordable, but it seems like the vast majority of businesses don't even do it. I don't understand it.
Well, and it's like we talk about how do we get more people to our website? How do we get more people to buy from us, fill out a lead form, all that fun stuff? But if you're not doing anything to get them back there, like how many times are maybe you're taking lunch and you're deciding to search something? Maybe you're going to go on a vacation, or maybe you need to buy a product, or maybe you need a home repair, or maybe like your lawyer reference, you're getting divorced, so you need to do some homework.
I'm not getting divorced.
I'm talking to everybody that's listening, because all of those situations happen where we're looking something up, is my point.
Right.
That you know, you're eating lunch at your desk so you can be able to research this information. Somebody walks in and needs something. The earth is crumbling. And so you click, leave, and then you come back and eat your lunch 20 minutes later. And you forget what website you were on because you did a search or you found a reference from somebody. And now
you have tunnel vision.
You're going back to square one. Yeah. If you had run remarketing ads, you'd be able to show that person, hey, you were here previously, continue that conversation and get them back to your website to now convert or find out more information or whatever your call to action is.
Well, so many times business owners and marketers always assume that, oh, people know who I am. And it's like
BS.
Yeah, they don't know
who you
are.
I don't care who you are most of the time. I care for what I want.
I mean, exactly. And so if they're on your website, they're trying to find content on your website that answers their need. And a lot of times, the vast majority of businesses don't even understand that or don't do that, because that means, you know, whatever. It's a different mindset than, you know, a newspaper ad, radio ad, TV ad. And that's what everyone's trying to do with digital, is trying to follow the same mindset of radio, TV, and newspaper, that they don't understand when someone's online, it's an engagement with content and information. So again, they have tunnel vision. they're looking for your content. They leave your website. Boom, done. You lost them.
So you mentioned a lot of people don't know who you are. You have actually one rule that our creative design team has to use when creating graphics-based ads. And I think that's really important as you're educating our audience about doing remarketing that they keep in mind.
Yes. And this is a rule that I have to visit with the designers generally every 60 days. And these guys are trained professionals. But, you know, clients will start pushing them. And the rule's really simple. Have your business name on the actual, you know, the retargeting ad, the display ad. But make sure that that's the focus of the ad. A lot of times we see a pretty picture and we're like, we're focused more on this pretty picture of whatever we're selling, thinking that's going to engage someone versus making sure that your name is front and center. So it's really easy. Look at your ad really quick. And what is the first thing that stands out to you? If it's the pretty picture, you failed. If it's the name of your company, then you've succeeded.
It needs to all work together. So definitely make sure they complement each other.
Right.
But you need to create that brand recall, brand awareness by running this strategy. And that's essentially what you're trying to do, is get somebody to know your business and know your name by running these ads. And if your name isn't front and center, you don't accomplish that. So now they know, hey, there's this really pretty graphic of a family and, you know, this non-spill sippy cup, but I have no idea who makes it and how I can get it.
Yeah. And I mean, and think about the type of business you are too. I mean, if you're a local business, here's a word of advice, and that's get some good photography of, you know, you want to have a spokesperson. And I've always been a big believer, like when I did the retargeting for the agency, and we still do, you'll see a lot of the retargeting ads has a picture of me, because people like to do business with people they feel like they know and trust.
And now it's name recognition and facial recognition.
Right.
So you're capitalizing on two opportunities for recall.
And it creates that authority level. And you think about it. So now if you go head to head of doing a bid or proposal for a prospective client, that client, are they going to know you more so? Are you going to have been in there, you know, more or less in front of them much more through retargeting? Or is your competitor just a nameless, faceless company? So it's a great way to build relationships, build authority, build awareness.
So what other maybe tips or tricks can we give our audience for starting with remarketing?
Well, keep in mind, when we said this in the very beginning, remarketing is more than just a display ad. Mm-hmm. There's also the opportunity to do remarketing in video. I mean, there's remarketing in text.
And there's text. And I would actually make sure that if you're going to run a remarketing, I know you want to talk about video, but if you're going to run a remarketing campaign, it literally takes maybe like 5 more minutes to write the text ads for it. Do it. Because a lot of websites are changing how their ad space populates, and they're giving you more opportunity for text ads. The reason this is a benefit is because if your content matches the content of the website that that person is then reviewing, so let's say you're shopping a blog website and you're previously shopped like a pair of pants or something, and then you're reading this blog website, that ad looks more native, so it looks like it belongs on that blog website, maybe compared to an ad people are conditioned to, which is the graphics or video based ad. So you also increase an opportunity for a click to your website by making it look like it fits within the format of your website. So spend that extra 5 minutes and write the text ad.
I would say put your phone number in the text ad too, because it's right there. And if somebody has the need, let's get them to connect with you as soon as possible. So I'd say put your phone number in the text ad along with it. So, and if, you know, by all means, have a catchy phone number. I've got an idea. What's a catchy phone number?
855-POTRATS.
That's right. 1-855-POTRATS. Call, ask your questions.
So if you're thinking, I need to do this for my business, sounds fabulous, but have a really specific question on, like, you've tried to do it before, it didn't work, or how do I really get started? Give us a call at that phone number, 855-POTRATS, and we'll be happy to help walk you through that process. But because I've already thought about that, if you visit paulpotratz.com, you can find a 10 tips to starting and getting going with your remarketing strategy. And I love this because I try to think about some of those little hindrances or challenges when you get going. So things like tips and tricks, but what you need to know before you get started, because there are a few things you have to do, like make sure if you're doing Facebook retargeting, you get that pixel on your website. If you're doing a Google-based or other ad platform retargeting, that you get the code on your website. And then, like Paul mentioned, some of the things you need to make sure you have in your graphics, making sure that you look at that before you say, let's put this in the ad platform and run it. So paulpotratz.com will have that 10-step resource for you. Go ahead and download that. And then if you have questions after you get going, we'd love to hear from you, 855-POTRATZ.
All right, so Samantha, you just dumped a lot of knowledge. And I mean, and you kind of think about it. I mean, with this 10 tips, I think it's important because there's questions. I mean, when I first started doing retargeting, I had questions like, how much money should I be spending? Am I spending too much? Am I spending too little? You know, how should I be trying to do anything special? Should I do should I do my retargeting based on, you know, per thousand views? Mm-hmm. You know, should I focus on my retargeting to drive clicks? Should I, you know, so there's so many different options. And should I use video? Should I use a male spokesperson? Should I use a female spokesperson? Mm-hmm. I mean, so I went through all these things. What should my retargeting ad say? What's the best colors? Mm-hmm. What color should I use? What should I have a call to action?
You're overwhelming me with questions, Paul.
I know, but those are the type of questions. And you think about it, and we've talked about this on an earlier show. It's called mm-hmm. procrastination. And it's my belief, honestly, is every last business that has a website, which is all businesses.
Yeah, or it should be.
It should be, yeah, exactly. You should definitely have a retargeting campaign on your website. I mean, if you have a business and you have business cards, you need to have a retargeting campaign.
Can I throw something else out there?
Definitely.
So this is on the retargeting conversation, remarketing conversation. But I also think maybe your business that is saying, I'm already doing all of this. Yep, know that. Question, are you doing dynamic remarketing?
Right, dynamic.
We didn't even talk about that because we've got to start at the basics to be able to get there. But dynamic remarketing, huge, huge success right there.
Yes. And so dynamic, just since Sam just dropped some more info on you guys here. So dynamic retargeting, what it really is, let's say that, for example, I'll give an example, that you sell products. That let's say you sell a lot of different shoes, red shoes, blue shoes, green shoes, and mm-hmm. all different types. What happens is when an individual visits your website, the code's picked up, and now they're seeing ads very, very specific down to that specific item that they looked at. And we've all seen that. We've experienced that. You go to Amazon, you look at a specific product, you leave Amazon or eBay, and then that specific product is showing wherever you go. So mm-hmm. that's dynamic. It's great if you have a lot of products to offer.
The benefit is too, is you can use it to show like-minded products to that customer. So you can drive them to things maybe they haven't thought about.
Cross sales, upsells,
bundling. You know, maybe you show them an incentive to put three things together. But if you're product-based, it works really well. You can also, if you're service-based, stretch it to be able to work for you. There's some loopholes we do have and can help you work through if you are a service-based business. You have to use a type of inventory feed to make this work. But like if you were a massage therapist, you could create like an inventory spreadsheet that has all of your different options. So as people visit different pages of your website, you could then show that to them in the form of the dynamic ads. So you're essentially taking something that is predominantly a product-based tool and using it for a service-based tool. So you got to get creative.
Yes.
And that's what we're talking about when we say, hey, this is what we do day in and day out. Let us help you find that creative way to capitalize on this technology for your business by talking to Paul in the Business Breakdown or giving us a call offline and having a one-on-one consultation with us.
Yeah. And I just can't stress enough how affordable it is, but how powerful it is. And I mean, there's been studies that's been done. I mean, heck, we've even done it. We've seen that percentages of people that people are 80%, I think it's 82%, if I remember the last study, 82% more likely to recall the name of your business if you're using a comprehensive retargeting strategy, which makes sense. It's common sense mm-hmm. that they're 82% more likely to recall your business.
And so I'd also challenge you to think about, Paul mentioned this briefly earlier, if they came to look at the red shoes, does it make the most sense for me to continue to show them the red shoes, or what would be that next step? So you can create what we refer to as next logical step retargeting. So if you're a business who has a lot of products or services, you may want to show them red shoes, but you may know if they look at red shoes, they traditionally buy black ones because they like the red, but the black is more practical.
Or maybe they don't like the red, but they clicked on it and said, oh my gosh, who would wear those red shoes other than Paul Podratz?
So it's not always going to be as specific in some instances. And in some instances, you need to show them what they're actually going to buy versus what they claim they want.
Well, and with remarketing, retargeting too, you have to think about this. Let's say that you sell a product that once they buy it, that they're not back into the shopping, that they're not going to mm-hmm. buy that product again for 3 years, 4 years, whatever yep. it might be. You don't want to lose that opportunity for 3 or 4 years. Let's say that you sell swimming pools. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't want to keep on talking to them about swimming pools and retargeting the swimming pools. You want to talk about the chemicals, the supplies, the things to keep them coming back.
Winterization in upstate New York, you're closing that pool soon.
Right.
So take that conversation and change it to another profit area of your business after their initial purchase.
Yeah, and that's what retargeting is all about. But a lot of times people think retargeting is really just a glorified billboard, and it's not.
It's really a one-on-one conversation, which is why it's better than a business card, but still great.
It's a salesperson. It's basically a salesperson that follows that person wherever they go.
Yep.
I just had a thought of that. Can make us, we could do a really cute video to promote that. Of what retargeting
you're putting a lot of videos on this list of yours, Paul.
I didn't say we were doing it.
Okay.
It's just my
I'm going to make every listener your accountability partner. Watch out. They'll be coming for you for those videos.
I already get emails going, hey, what about you said this on that? You know, where's it at? So there you go.
So whether you're a small business or a Fortune 500 or somewhere in between, remarketing is a tool you can use for the advantage of your business. Visit paulpotratz.com for that 10-step resource. We're going to take a quick break for the news and we'll be back headed into the business breakdown.
It's time for the Business Breakdown.
The 7-minute on-air consultation for you.
Call now for your free business consultation with Paul and Samantha. 1-855-POTRATS.
That's 1-855-768-7289.
Now, let's break it down.
Welcome to the Business Breakdown, where we'll hear from three callers today. And we have our first caller on the line. Kevin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. Thanks for calling into the Business Breakdown. What is your business and your question for Paul?
Well, my question today is we've saturated our market with internet and print ads, and now I want to determine what the next best use of our marketing budget should be.
Okay. Kevin, thanks for calling in. And what's the company name, too?
It's Adirondack Basement System. We've been in business for 19 years now, so we have a pretty good track record behind us.
Okay, excellent. So how do you determine, or how have you determined that you've saturated the market with your internet ads?
We have a internet department through our supplier that has over 100 people in it, and that's all they do is work on our internet. Currently, about, I would say, 51% of our leads come from the internet right now. 15 to 20% through print ads.
Okay. You know, because I hear that, I've heard that a number of times, that we've saturated, and I can see how you could saturate with the newspaper ads to a certain degree, because that audience is definitely shrinking, and but the cost is not going down. But to really saturate with internet, I think that's, you're not saturated there yet, even though you might think you are. And because so many times you're seeing your ads over and over and over, and it's just kind of like having a brand identity, whatever the branding statement is. And then after a while, we get tired of it. So if you're trying to grow the numbers where 51% of your leads are coming in because of the internet, then I would say change your approach up a little bit. I mean, and don't change. Let me rephrase that. Don't change your approach. Add to your approach, because it's working what you're doing. But add some different elements on there. Maybe change the look and the feel of the ads, because it's kind of like a billboard that we drive past a billboard several times. And the first 5 to 6 times we see it, it stands out, we notice it, and after that it just kind of blends in. And maybe that's what's happening with your internet ads, which I think would, make a tremendous amount of sense. Kind of change up the message in the sense of polling your customers and finding out from your customers what really brought them in, because it might be something completely different than what your ads are saying, but they were able to kind of cut through the clutter and understand what your product was going to do for them. And it could give you some really good copy. And then all of a sudden, now you can say, wow, 75% of my leads are coming in because of the my internet ads. And then there's a lot of different ways you can advertise on internet. I mean, I don't know if you're just doing paid search, or if you're doing retargeting, or if you're doing video ads. And are you doing anything?
All of the above.
Yeah.
All of the above.
Yes. Okay. Are you doing anything on Facebook too?
Yes, we do. We use Facebook through our own page, and then through the boosted searches or the boosted ads as well.
Okay.
One thing you can think about too, and I would challenge you to think about how you can do this within your organization itself, is authentic lifestyle-based campaigns, because these are going to be an ability to really connect with your audience versus using more of a stock photography or using more of a corporate photo. That's a small change, like Paul was mentioning, thinking about adding to your strategy, that can really impact the engagement that you get on those ads, which may be why you also think you're saturated, is because there is a diminishing amount of engagement or a lack thereof, an increase in it.
Yeah, and something else I would suggest too, Kevin, is when, you know, when your team is out on the job site or when you're on the job site, I mean, you don't have to do it every time, but if you could, once a week, just shoot a video. Shoot, you know, the homegrown video on your, you know, on your mobile phone. And talking about, you know, what was the problem, what are you fixing, and, you know, how did you fix it, or what was the result? And maybe even get some of your customers into that video too, because it's going to create that organic, that authentic type of advertising that no one else takes the time to do, because we, you know, we go to do our job and we're like, all right, we got to get the job done. Let's get in, let's get it done, let's get out. And we forget about turning that into an opportunity to create, you know, more or less an advertisement that will help establish you even more so as an authority and an expert in your field.
And I do like that idea. We currently take pictures and add them to our page, but we have not done video yet.
Yeah, I would definitely do the video, add it to your website, have it on your page, and then also, you know, boost that, promote it, use it for retargeting. I mean, there's so many different ways you can use it. And, you know, that customer, that client of yours, you know, there's going to be a lot of them. They're going to really appreciate that, and it's going to help them even talk more so about, you know, what you did for them and how happy they are.
Right.
So, yeah, I would just, you know, change it up a little bit.
And for that, think about how you're layering your ad strategy. I know that gets a little bit more in depth, but if you're covering all of these platforms, think about how when somebody comes to your website and then chooses not to engage with you, what are you sending them back? You can do video retargeting, for example. That would be a great opportunity to use that customer video, your project video, to show, hey, we can do this for you as well, which could drive that additional engagement, additional lead you're looking for.
Great. Do you have any recommendations for advertising to drive people to our website that is not internet-based?
Not really. I mean, any type of, you know, TV advertising is going to drive a certain level, but it's generally so costly to do that.
Right. That's what we found ourselves.
Yeah, it really is. But, you know, a really solid email marketing strategy, and I would use Facebook to build your email database. Mm-hmm. And I would also say look at Facebook Messenger. The Messenger bots are definitely growing in popularity, and I can see how that's going to continue to grow even more.
Okay.
So, Kevin, thank you so much for all of your questions today. I think we could keep this conversation going for probably another 20 minutes. I see Paul has things on the tip of his tongue.
Yeah, I do. She shut me off. So, Kevin, I'll have to reach out to you. We'll have to go to lunch and talk this stuff. Great. I love it.
I think we definitely should connect offline. Thank you so much for your call today, Kevin. Have a great morning.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you. You too. Thanks. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So if you want to be one of the Business Breakdown callers, give us a call at 855-POTRATS. That's 855-POTRATS. And don't forget, you can engage with us three different ways on the show. You can call us at that number, 855-POTRATS. You can comment on the Paul Potratz Facebook page, and you could be featured in an upcoming episode. Or you can go ahead and head over to our website, take a look at all of the free resources, and let us know what you think, what your questions are after you check them out. But for now, we have our next caller in the Business Breakdown on the line. Christian, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Samantha, how you doing? I'm doing good today. How about everybody over there?
We're great, and we're happy to be talking to you this morning. So what is your question? What is your company? Tell us what your item for Paul is this morning.
Well, I'm calling because, first of all, I'm the general manager of Matt Ford. We're a car dealership here in Kansas City. And there's so many companies out there that are doing Google AdWords. Kind of one of the things that I was wanting to know and ask is, the product is now 17 years old. I think it's losing traction daily. You're constantly switching vendors because someone says they can do it better. I think that this product is going to fizzle out. So I was wanting to know what you guys thought about that actually happening.
Okay.
Ooh, I love this question, but actually I want to ask first, have you started to make changes in your strategy because of your opinion?
Yeah, you know, so we are... we're constantly doing the battle of back and forth agencies, you know, just with transparency, and we'll, someone's taking really good care of us, and then they get really big, and then we're just a small guy, so we switch to a smaller boutique, so we get hands-on. Yeah, we've actually started making some changes to where we are selecting our audiences with new technology that comes out that kind of allows us to, instead of selecting from a huge audience that Google or Facebook puts together, we're actually able to create an audience from locations that we want. So mm-hmm. we're kind of picking and choosing our audiences now.
Okay, so trying to get a little more micro with it, but you're still spending money there. So good question for Paul is, what do you think about it? What should businesses do to adapt to this platform?
Yep, Christian, good morning and welcome. So there you go. And Sam and I are tongue-tied today. I just don't get it. So anyway, I agree with your statement 100% that it's starting to lose. It's not as effective as it was, definitely. And I mean, it was last year when Google changed the number of ads where we had ads on the right-hand side. Of course, I'm talking about just search. I'm not talking about display, but ads on the right-hand side went away. It really kind of changed up that supply and demand, increased prices. Google's realized that they've kind of reached a potential of how much money that they, you know, or at what pace they're growing, and they're trying to get more and more of a business owner's budget. And where I'm saying that it's started to lose its effectiveness, we're not getting the number of leads, the amount of conversion that we got last year, definitely not what we got the year before. So it's definitely started to lose its effectiveness. Is it going to go away? No. And I thought the newspaper was going to go away, but it's still hanging on. There's people still using it. So my point is, with, you know, Google search, I can see it becoming like the newspaper, that it's just that, you know, that thing, it just hangs on. You know, it's like the little steam engine that could. Is it starting to price itself out where, you know, you're having to spend so much? Most definitely. I've seen a number of, you know, businesses that are spending, you know, $30,000, $40,000 a month and receiving, you know, 30 to 40 leads. And at $1,000 a quality lead just does not make sense. So here's my thought of what I'm seeing with individuals, with shoppers, with the consumers, is we're becoming much more social. And you kind of think about it that, you know, the amount of time we spend on our mobile device and all the social media sites, and I'm not talking just about Facebook. I mean, there's a lot of different social. I mean, we could be talking about Tumblr and, you know, Pinterest to a certain degree, but, you know, that where you have that opportunity to interact with someone one-on-one. And I think that's where the businesses are missing out, is they're not really creating an engaging platform. You go to a website, the website's basically a glorified newspaper ad. There's no way to engage. There's no, you know, surveys. There's no, you know, real-time engagement. There's no inbound marketing. So there's a lot of opportunities to grow with that. And I think us as consumers, that's what we want. We want that instant gratification. We've all filled out lead forms where we've clicked an ad on Google, and we sit back and we wait and we wait and we wait, and then the person doesn't even answer the question we ask. So I think it's putting a sour taste in everyone's mouth. So sour taste in the shopper's mouth, and then the business owners are getting frustrated, the marketers are getting frustrated because it's not working. So I see Google on a downward spiral, and it's moving fast.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, so and
thanks for the insight.
Yeah, and I would just say, you know, focus on social, because you know, social is going to allow you to build that relationship, and it's going to allow you to get a higher gross profit. I mean, there's just so many, and it just continues to pay off, because social is really, you know, top of mind and word of mouth and building the relationship. When Google is somebody that's in the market, that they go, they do the search, and then they're in the market. But, you know, I wouldn't discount or discredit remarketing or retargeting, because I think that's really important, should be part of everyone's strategy. So there's my opinion on what's happening with Google.
Well, cool. Thank you. Good to talk to you again, Paul. I think we met in Overland Park, Kansas in 2009. I remember it.
Wow. Boy, I'm feeling dated now, Christian. Google's 17 years old, and we met in 2009 in Kansas, and I need to come back and have some good barbecue there.
Yeah, you do. All right. Well, hey, thanks, guys. I really appreciate the talk.
Thank you, Christian, for your call. So if you're like Christian and have a question about tools and technology, we would love to talk about that with you. But go ahead and head over to Facebook, because that's a great arena to not only ask Paul your questions, but also hear from other business owners, individuals in companies, managers, or individuals developing those technologies themselves. But for our last business breakdown caller, we have Thomas on the line. Thomas, how is your day going so far?
Good morning, guys. Everything is just lovely here in Memphis and working like it should be.
Great. I'm so happy to hear you're calling in from Memphis. We're in upstate New York this morning, so you're probably having some warmer weather than us.
It's a little bit unseasonable here, but we're going to take it because it's not raining and the sun is shining.
Exactly. Don't complain while it's nice out. But what is your question for Paul this morning? And if you'd like to tell us about your business, we'd love to hear about it.
Well, Paul, I have a kind of a double-sided question, and it's on retaining the employees that you have. You oftentimes have outside resources that are searching for talent in your area, and, of course, they follow through the interview process. And whether you get to meet these people or not, you bring them on board, you invest time and effort to getting these people up to speed, and you find that you either have somebody who's really well and fitted for the business that you have and cater to, or they're just not quite on board. You don't want to just let these people go, because sometimes they're easily being able to brought up, they're trainable. So my question is, how do you get the people that are really good that want to leave to outside markets? Keep them involved and engaged in your business. Keep that customer orientation that you really like to strive being a world-class business, and keep them on board with you.
Okay, excellent. Thomas, thanks for calling in. Great to talk to you, buddy. So, boy, that was a lot right there. And I'm going to just be my regular squirrel mode, where Samantha always tries to keep me on track too here. So the first thing, are you, I'm going to use this word, Sam, are you ready? Mm-hmm. Are you poaching other individuals, you know, that work for other clients, I mean, or other companies that's basically the same industry as you? So are you guys going after those individuals that are trained and are proficient and, you know, already in the workforce?
We do an extent, but in some corporations, you have to run them through a process, and that's what some people like to do for hiring and onboarding. We do that to, we like to think that we lead and people would like to poach from us, but we do poach. It's just something that does happen in the business, and you want to find somebody who's already on the same line that you are or in the same business.
Right. Or someone that, yeah, in the same business. And it could be, so, you know, where you guys are the leaders and people are, you know, coming after your employees, your team members. And I mean, anytime that's happening a lot to you, you know that you're doing a lot of things right. That's what Sam and I always tell each other. So you're doing a lot of things right. But that's a benefit to you in the sense that if they're coming after your team members, then that means that they're probably having a lot of turnover. They don't have a training process in place. They're not doing a really good job preparing individuals. So that gives you a great opportunity to find those individuals and find those individuals that are highly motivated, that they've chosen to make it a career, not just a job and a paycheck, and let them understand the benefit of your company, why your company is a better company. And definitely there's a high probability that individuals are already working at that company that used to work for yours and are probably saying, man, I should have never left.
Yeah, and so like two things on that point. One, to Paul's last comment, people who leave your business and come back to it are actually more valuable in some instances than individuals who you retain the entire life of their employment. There's a couple of studies out there because they're able to learn from other businesses as well as understand the value that your organization held. So keep that door open as long as they had a great and positive experience while they were in your organization. And then point number two would be, if you're a business who says, I'm going to invest in my employees and train, which you mentioned in your question, you want to look for individuals maybe outside of the given industry that have core values and trainable opportunities for learning your product or learning your business, but will think like you, act like you, and embrace that philosophy that your business has. And then you're investing in an individual you know and hope will last the organization's lifetime.
And here's another point too, you know, where I talked about the poaching, but start building relationships. And I mean, have your team. It shouldn't just all fall on your shoulders, but you know, you've got key personnel on your team that you know will do what I'm getting ready to tell you. And what it is building the relationship with individuals that are working with the other company. And don't approach it like, it's, hey, we're interested in bringing you over. It's an interview process. It's just, hey, let's meet for coffee. Let's talk. Let's have a conversation. And again, it's not about the job. It's just, hey, I'm looking to make new friends. You know, I've got things that, you know, questions I'd like to ask, and you've got questions you'd like to ask. Let's just be friends. And take them to lunch, go to lunch, go to dinner, you know, slow that process down of trying to hire so much and speed the process up of building relationships. Because when you go out to eat lunch with someone, or if you go and play golf with them, or whatever your hobbies are, or whatever their hobbies are, you can learn a lot about those individuals. And then that will make the determination, do I, you know, is it somebody that's really going to work on our team or not? Because so many times, you know, they go, the interview process is great, the resume looks great, we hire them, and we're like, whoa, we made a mistake.
I do see that quite a bit. Do you, have you noticed, or do you go through this yourself, of seeing that it's usually the younger guild that is more apt to leave your hands? And but on the same aspect, it's also the younger guild that comes in as well. It seems like they do the changing hands more than the people who are more well-seasoned.
This is true. Yeah. So the younger generation is definitely making changes, and we see that a lot. Our average age is 31, and we've just embraced it and said that's what it's going to be. And Samantha has a point here, and this is perfect right up her alley.
Well, I think this is kind of interesting because statistically, millennials will change careers less than their predecessors. However, because they are just coming into the workforce, they're going to change through your organization more than those individuals who are a little bit more seasoned. One thing I would make a recommendation of is looking at the different positions you have in your organization and that length of time that an individual holds that position. So you're likely hiring for the same job multiple times because turnover is maybe 13 months. And it's just that 13 months, they feel like they know everything and then want to go put that knowledge in another organization. So that's going to give you the opportunity to say, okay, at 11 months, let me make sure that I'm really putting feelers out there and getting somebody in the door to train to potentially replace this person. And you want to make sure that you can also afford that from a stability standpoint. But that's something you can do that we've done in our organization that's proven really successful because we always make sure that we have a project or initiative that new person will be able to fulfill in their time with us. But then when we potentially lose at that 13-month retention point, turnover point, we're filling those shoes and the team stays stable too.
That is great. I oftentimes put a top dollar pay on a higher, let's just call it what it is, a higher experience job position. Mm-hmm. And that seems to bring some more people in and people who are really going to be there for the longevity of the business, whereas a less skilled path, you're not going to offer a top dollar for that job in that field as much as you would. But I seem to have better luck with that, is go ahead, give them the good pay for the start, and they're more like, wow, this is a place I want to be, and then they're more on board with you. It's amazing what the mighty dollar can do for somebody.
Yeah, and then Samantha has a point, too. It's not always just about pay. You want to talk about that what we've seen?
Well, I think one thing, too, especially a generational thing with millennials, is ensuring that you're creating a growth plan. So although they're coming in maybe with some experience or coming, you know, straight out of school in some instances as well, it does have to do with pay. I mean, everybody wants to make sure that they're making a good living, but showing growth in the form of changing titles and then also creating a growth plan that shows how they can become more valuable to the organization over time creates retention. Because if it's just pay, that doesn't show them enough growth opportunity through the life of their relationship with your business. So I would also say if you don't have that part in place, really strong recommendation. It takes a while to put together, but once you do it, you can template it across a lot of your positions, and that's what's going to retain people because they want to know, hey, I can get better, stronger, grow, and be more valuable.
You know, one of the points on that too, Thomas, and we're already over time, but I'll just mention this, is what I've realized with the millennial mindset, mm-hmm. more or less, is it's not always pay, and that they get this kind of thought process that I've learned everything I can learn from my boss, so now I need to go somewhere else where I can learn. So I would challenge you to make sure that you're, you know, teaming them up with other individuals, allowing them the opportunity to learn a lot and become, you know, really talented across a number of different levels, even though it might not directly apply to their job. but it's really challenging them. And that's what they're looking for, is the challenge. Because if they get bored, that's when they leave.
And that's a really good point. I know we're kind of running over time. But that's okay. It's our show, right? but one thing with that, too, is like, so if you're going to make a financial investment and you're thinking maybe I increase their salary another X dollars, is there an interest that they have or a skill that they're looking to learn that maybe kind of correlates with your business, but maybe there's an opportunity to send them to a convention, or there's an opportunity to send them to a workshop? Invest in that type of item as well. And now you're showing that you're investing in them and helping them grow. And then, you know, maybe that extra 3% raise you're going to give them becomes a 1.5% raise because you're investing in them as well. And that's going to show them like, hey, I get to do these things outside of the office too, which really helps individuals feel like they're growing and flourishing.
Well, great, guys. I'll have to really make sure I concentrate on their growth path, because I know that goes a long way with me as well. Well, thanks for taking my call today.
Thank you so much, Thomas. We look forward to talking to you again soon.
Have a great day.
Okay, great.
So that is all we have for today's episode of the Business Breakdown. Like I mentioned, we ran a little bit long, but when you get us a topic we're passionate about, we'll just chat all day. Isn't that right, Paul?
Well, that's a topic you're really passionate about. Millennials and growth plans and...
It is part of my life.
Yes, it is.
That is true. So whether or not it has to do with marketing or millennials or growth plans, it is a question centered around business, how you can grow your career, how you can grow your team, or how maybe you can change directions. Give us a call and talk to us on the Business Breakdown where we can brainstorm your next move. That number is 855-POTRAT. Don't forget, you can call at any point during the week and leave us a voicemail, and our team will give you a call back to schedule your time in an upcoming episode. Or my favorite is the Paul Potrat's Facebook page. This is a great place for you to engage in a conversation, not just with Paul and myself, but our entire audience. So thanks so much for calling in today, and we look forward to hearing you in an upcoming episode.
Today, we've talked a lot about remarketing, also known as retargeting, but again, it's the modern day business card. We put a resource together. It's 10 steps that you need to make that really,
tongue-tied. We are so tongue-tied. Tongue-tied in a radio show really doesn't go that well together.
What's wrong with me?
So say it for me, Sam. Everybody, but what we were trying to say is 10 tips for remarketing, like Paul mentioned, also referred to as retargeting commonly. So this is a tool that's going to take you through the things you need to know, some tips and tricks, and then some questions to ask yourself when you're getting started and putting your strategy together. So we want to help make sure you're thinking through that entire process, because it is an investment in your business. And if just done with a blind eye, it will not produce results for you. So how do you find it? Where do they go?
PaulPotrats.com. Really easy to spell Potrats. Spell Potrats with a Z. Go right there. You could also connect with me on Facebook, and I bet there's going to be a link on my Facebook page. But people have gotten confused lately about my Facebook page. There's the Facebook page, Paul Potrats, and then there's the person, Paul Potrats. So just connect with both. So there you go.
So find the resource over on the celebrity page. So if you search for Paul, make sure you click pages. That's going to be the easiest way to find this. And then over on PaulPotrats.com, the benefit of heading there is you can find all of our past episode resources and start a conversation with us, where we'd love to have your on-air or off-air business consultation. That's it for the Paul Potrat Show. We look forward to hearing from you next week.
You've been listening to The Paul Potrat Show. Paul is the architect behind Potrat's Advertising, an international consulting and advertising agency based in Schenectady, New York.
For more info or to learn how to work with Paul and the Potrat's team to grow your business and improve your processes, visit PaulPotrats.com. That's Paul, PotratZ.com.
And join Paul and Samantha next Sunday morning at 11, right here on WGY.